I'm Justin Freed. This is episode 101 of In 30. This is now In 32.0 because we have a huge vacancy to fill, which is of that of Harry Marks of CuriousRat.com. That's right. I'll still say his name and Earl at the top of the show. And replacing him today is Paul Shapiro of PaulandShapiro.com. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
So, Paul, what... everyone knows what Curious Rat is, even though the name is pretty complicated. No one knows what JustinFreed.com is because it says nothing. So what is PaulandShapiro.com?
I'm in digital marketing, so it's a lot of digital marketing topics, social media. I do SEO, so more recently it's been a lot about SEO.
So it's a blog. It doesn't have so many like Tumblr pictures of cats or anything.
Maybe I'll start with the cats.
All right,
that just means we're going to rise in the rankings, so we are going to become popular.
Exactly, and of course, who you just heard, it was Haim Cohen of HaimTime.com.
Hello, hello.
And for our 2.0 versioning, I don't know what it is exactly, we're going to have two topics today. So we're going to talk about Boxy, formerly XMBC, and also the Moto X. So we got.
Well, no, I think we should talk about what was our first episode about, Justin? Do you remember?
The first episode that was successfully recorded and
the first and our episode one. Episode one. Let's go with that.
I think the first thing we ever talked about was the dissolution of optical media. Isn't that right?
Well, that may be the first one that we failed to record. But what was the first published one?
You were telling me off air. Is it Google buying Motorola?
And I Google buying Motorola, and how apropos that our 101st episode, we have Motorola or Moto X news.
Okay, so you want to start there? You seem pretty excited by it. Take us through what the Moto X is, and it's not like a movie or a type of RoboCop or something.
Well, we don't know much about it, but apparently Google for months has been working on a phone that was supposed to be the phone to have, and it was scaring the manufacturers like Samsung and HTC that Google and Motorola were working too close, and Android was supposed to be open source and the Android Open Handset Alliance, and then we find out that it's going to be a mid-range phone. And then we find out through Dennis Woodside at D11 that it's going to be customizable.
Hold on. Paul, did we find any of this out, or is this still just rampant speculation? I'm not sure, even hearing Haim's tone of voice.
We know that it's being produced in the United States. That's one thing we know. There has been mention that it's going to be customizable. We don't know as far as what that means exactly. Some people are saying that originally that it was just the hardware that's customizable. Now it appears that more of it's the body case customizable, maybe some color options in the case and engravings.
That's my dog Bodhi, everyone. Okay, so was what Haim said correct then? Based on Paul's read of what we know versus what speculation, did that chop down what your Moto X will be?
We don't know exactly what it's going to be. We were hoping that it's going to be this S4 like phone. It's going to have the top specs. We do know that it's not a Nexus device, so it's not getting updates from Google. But just like the S4 Google Experience and the HTC One Google Experience, it's getting it from the carrier. But the carrier is Google through Motorola, but we don't know. All we know is that it's a mid-range phone at this point the option to customize your back, but we do know four different variants have gone through the FCC, presumably AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, and Verizon.
Okay, so digital marketer Paul, is this just a method for Motorola to kick up interest before the phone is released and calling it the X and all? Is this all, are we falling for their PR department's method here?
I don't think so. Like everyone else, I don't know what to exactly expect, but this is the first phone being released between the Google and Motorola partnership since Motorola was acquired by Google, so I think there is probably something more to it.
Why do you think they would start with a mid-range phone? Is it so that it gets into more people's hands? Why not make it the flagship, best ever Super Galaxy S4 killing Android.
Would you buy it at $199, Justin? If it was $199, which was a number that was rampant speculation, would you buy a phone at $199 every year that was presumably a good phone for that current year?
Okay, so at $199, I can compare it directly with the 16-gigabyte iPhone. I kind of
No. Not $199 on contract. $199. Like, right off the bat.
Oh, just straight $199?
Yeah, specs of the 4S iPhone. Give it a processor that's about 8 months to 6 months older, and everything about 6 months, but it's $199, and that's it.
I think you've sold me an Android phone, because I can see using it, especially if it has a much bigger screen than the iPhone, as my second device.
And then add no contract, T-Mobile, $30 a month or $50 a month, unlimited everything.
I don't know, but so okay, what Haim is trying to sell me, Paul? Does that exist? I mean, is that going to happen? I don't see going to the Google Play Store and ordering a $200, even medium range phone that I would be happy with. Is that possible?
The Nexus 4 is $300, I think, without contract right now. Although I'm not convinced that the mid range specs is indication that it's just going to be a cheap phone. I've heard some discussion saying that you're seeing some mid range specs because they're focusing on some new and interesting things, that being like an extremely long battery life. There's some interesting features that people were mentioning with sensors, which haven't been used before on Android phones, where you shake the phone and the camera pops up. I believe that the speculation was saying that there's some interesting use of antennas. There's Haim, do you know anything? I think it's the LTMIMO antenna they were talking about.
Well, what I find, no, I don't know. I didn't hear about that, but I do know that by working on all four carriers, they have to have the antenna and reception issues and the chips down. So I wouldn't be surprised if what you're saying is correct.
So, okay, but if it has MIMO LTE, like, each carrier version wouldn't require, and the antenna system and the modems inside were uniform across the four carriers, wouldn't it only require one FCC approval? Like, there, if there are four FCC approvals put in, or request for approvals put in, doesn't that indicate that each device has some type of different hardware? It's operating on a different spectrum, and it can only operate on a certain portion of the spectrum.
Does the iPhone 5 on Verizon, it comes on lock, can you stick an AT&T SIM into it?
You can bring it to Europe and you can use it as an unlocked GSM phone, yes.
But can you put an AT&T SIM and use the AT&T LTE?
I don't think so. I think it's missing part of it.
So I don't know how you put multiple chips in there, but maybe this new whatever chip that has it, this Qualcomm Snapdragon chip that does the radio, maybe it is all four. But it needs FCC approval on all four. Again, we don't know. We're hoping that tomorrow is the announcement.
Okay, so if this thing is $200, is this something that Google's going to be effectively subsidizing, making no profit on? I mean, doesn't that begin to – are they going for market share at the cost of profit? Because I would for $200, especially if I lost my iPhone that was still on contract, I would definitely go for a $200 Android phone. What's the kind of economic thinking about it being $200?
Well, I think that $200 is saying the Nexus 4 is currently $300, but it's also 8 months old. So saying this is $200, saying you're not going to get the best of the best, but you're going to get a very good phone that should last you more than a year, but maybe not necessarily 2 years. But at $200, who cares? And I think that's a good number if that's what they're trying to start out as. As far as market share, I think that's how much it costs to actually make a phone. How much does it actually cost to make an iPhone? $179, we figured out. So now they're saying, we're going to give you the phone for free on our end as long as you use the Google account and we can track you and do all this other stuff that Google is famous for.
Worth it for $200, Paul?
I think so.
All right. So I have to bring this up. Even though I didn't give an Apple announcement at the top of the show. There is a rumored lower cost iPhone. I kind of think this is my speculation. I think there's a chance that $200 will remain the lowest price point for the iPhone, but that'll only be the plastic ones, and that $300 will begin the metal ones at 32 gigabytes. I'm kind of thinking that. But pushing that aside for a second, is what we're seeing a more kind of consumable design for smartphones so that people aren't locked into contracts, and then this pushes all of the users of smartphones away from the relationship that they have with carriers and closer to Apple, closer to Google, et cetera?
Well, I have something, but I want Paul to answer first because I want to change the topic slightly.
I'm not the right person to answer that. I'm going to stay behind.
Well, okay, so what I'm thinking is we have a problem that at about 18 months your phone becomes basically unusable. And I don't want to say that like it's completely not usable, but my Galaxy Nexus is clearly showing age. And when I had an iPhone 3G and went to OS 4, it was a problem. Apple is supporting the new operating systems, but you're not getting flyover, or you're not getting this, or you're not getting the parallax. So by giving something that will last for 1 year at a cheap price, they're saying if you're not going to get upgraded to the newest version, we're going to upgrade you to the newest version, and it's going to cost you $200 a year. But you'll have the latest and greatest. It'll be speedy. It'll be snappy. And if you want to hold on to it, you'll get the new operating system, but it may not be that optimal. And I think that's a good way of looking at it.
All right, so maybe this will be my second phone. The only thing is, if it's $200, I guess there would be some tension. I would probably just end up purchasing a Nexus tablet though. So I'm not sure exactly what Google's going for, but
Paul, you're on the fence with Android. You were thinking about switching. So what do you think? You have an S4 at $650. You have an HTC One at $600. You have a Nexus 4 at $300, presumably going to be upgraded in 4 months. And tomorrow, we hear about a Moto X announcement, possibly at $200. What do you do?
All right. I started on Android. I had the first Android phone in the States that was a Verizon Droid. I switched to iPhone. I have an iPhone 4S. Switched to it for various reasons. I think the app quality is better in general, third-party app quality. But of lately, I've been thinking towards Android. I'm more vested in the Google products, and I think maybe it makes sense. I was thinking originally the 4S, but I've been hearing some interesting things about the Moto X, and I think I'm holding out for that. I want the better phone, not necessarily based on price. I'm holding out on the Moto X because of those things I was hearing, like the interesting use of sensors, the long battery life, more things along the lines of that. That's what's going to sell me. I want the better phone. It's not the price point, per se.
So is it fair to call those things gimmicks? I mean, what is it?
I don't think battery life on a cell phone is a gimmick.
No. The sensors and whatnot. I mean,
so that might be a gimmick.
I mean, all things being equal, of course, better battery life is better. I mean, I guess we've seen pictures of this phone. This is a plastic. It has a plastic shell. This is not going to be.
We've heard Kevlar back. We've heard glass back. We've heard just about everything. But let's ask this: What happens if this truly had all day battery? Like, it's a Google sponsored phone. It's supported somewhat by Google, but it lasted all day. Like, it was just half of it was just battery.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the more current Motorola phones right now have some of the better battery life on the market.
That is true. The new Moto phones, they've worked on the battery. But still, you still had that negative connotation that Motorola, Motorola, Motorola. And the iPhone battery is great. I mean, if you go by number, it doesn't sound great. But all I see are people using iPhones at 6 and 7 p.m. in New York City, whereas my phone I will never turn on just in case because I need the battery life to squeak out another hour.
Okay. Interesting. So the last question before we move on to our second X topic for our 2.0 show is this? I said earlier that this might be pulling people away from their relationship with the carriers. But if they don't have to subsidize phones, okay, they lose pulling people into a contract. Maybe they can't get them for 24 months. But does that mean that they can charge less? That they can focus more on their networks? And this could actually be beneficial for carriers, or that people who otherwise wouldn't use a smartphone would go for it?
Well, no, because remember, don't you get a smartphone? You get the subsidy once every 2 years, and the 20 months was just their way of saying, because you were a good customer to us, we'll let you go early. You're supposed to pay off the phone in 24 months. So I think they don't like this because it's locking people in. It's not locking people in. And now we're going to start seeing competition to keep the people, knowing that you can just go out and buy an iPhone for $650, or you can buy a Nexus 4 for $300, and you could just take it. And T-Mobile, I think, is winning all this. I think they're winning, and T-Mobile sees that. So they said, we're going to start investing in our infrastructure in order to get more of those people.
Does Google ever subsidize the cost of service or provide free service or provide unlimited data to Google properties on the internet? I mean, the FCC might frown upon that, but
don't. But Facebook in third world countries do. Third world countries, you go to zero, I think the number zero.facebook.com, Facebook will pay the bandwidth charges.
Okay, so this
just Moto FYI, not that there is anything to that.
So we will put the Moto X to bed, and if it's announced at least in 2 days on the 11th, we can follow up next show.
Paul, okay. You have any last words? You'll get the last word on this.
Waiting to see what happens from the Moto X. Okay. I want to see that basic phone functionality shine.
So you want a phone to make phone calls?
I want a phone to make phone calls and get emails and browse the web.
Other than one person, how many minutes do you actually use a month?
No clue.
Justin, all right. Do you know?
Paul needs to get the last word, Heim.
Okay, sorry. Okay. No more. Okay, move on.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about Boxy's being acquired by Samsung, previously XMBC. And Paul, I guess, to me, Boxy and Roku and kind of all of the second tier media players get rolled into one. Well, I don't even understand the importance of Boxy overall to like living room 6 foot or 10 foot distance UI enjoyment of content. What's it do? Why does anyone care?
So the way Boxy started, it was software only. It was based on Xbox Media Center, and it kind of had more, you know, social functionality, better interface, integration with Facebook and YouTube, and that was kind of the highlight. It ran on any old Mac device, and then got ported to Windows, I believe. And it wasn't until more recently that they made standalone hardware, and I believe that's what Samsung was had acquired more, because Boxy actually quit producing the standalone software.
I see. So, did you have a Boxy box? Open sourced? I never. Okay. So, are you saying that Boxy stopped?
Because
Heim, are we losing you?
Well, no. I was asking Paul if he had a Boxy box. No, I think we're losing you, but I was asking Paul if he had a Boxy box, because out of everyone, he's the one that most watches content out of the two of us.
I don't have a Boxy box. I used it quite a bit in its software form, but they discontinued it. I shied away from it. I started using XBMC, and then discovered Plex, which is actually very nice. I have a Roku. I had a jailbroken Apple TV. I think the Roku worked out better for me. But I've always been really intrigued by the Boxy hardware.
But listen to what you just said. You said that you had this. You had five different devices, right? I counted. okay? And I don't think – and the problem, the reason you had five different devices is because you needed five different devices to watch Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu or Apple content or AirPlay or whatever else or DLNA. So the problem with Boxy that I saw is that it didn't do all of it. It was just another device that was oddly shaped – at least the final Belkin product that they produced, that you just couldn't – it still didn't solve the problem of getting everything in one box.
Has anything solved that?
Not yet, and Roku is the closest, but it still hasn't done it. So what I'm hoping for is maybe this acquisition by Samsung puts more of it together. Maybe they can work on a deal with Amazon, Netflix, Hulu Plus, or Hulu, DLNA with the Android phones. And the only one that will be out there is Apple, and you're never going to get Apple in there. But at least now you have 90% of the services, and you have Apple. Then you have to buy an Apple TV if you have an Apple product.
Hi, what was that Samsung event that we went to in the city? I don't even remember what they were announcing, honestly.
It was the TV. It was the smart TV, and they're like ultraviolet download movie service.
Okay. Do you remember how terrible the UI was for their smart TVs?
Yes. It was. It you know what? It looked like the Steve Jobs version of what he killed on Apple TV.
Okay. So Paul, knowing what you know of Boxy, do you think that this is a software play by Samsung? They don't need the Boxy name at all. Right. This is a shortcut to developing an interface that's been proven to work, that people like. Is that what's going on here?
I think so. It's also probably a play against Apple, against the Apple TV. Samsung is a hardware manufacturer in the end, and so is Apple, I guess, even though they don't make the hardware. But
well, so what do we go from here? Do we expect Samsung? Is Samsung going to change the UI, or are they just going to roll in their own Boxy app that's going to go on the S4 and it's going to get a really, really obnoxious, sexist tone at the next S5 event?
I hope that that's not what they do, but that does seem like that would be par for the course for Samsung. Rather than integrating it meaningfully into their smart TVs or their Galaxy phones.
Do they kill it? Like, do they just flat out shelf it and say, you were a competitor, now this is good for our Samsung smart connected TVs and Media Hub and keys and everything else? Put the secret Konami code to activate some sort of music.
Paul, do you know if Boxy had content partnerships? Is that part of what they got here? I mean, Roku, I guess, has some type of content partnerships. Did Boxy evolve into a company that made deals with Hulu or whomever to get them on there?
I'm not sure, but it had channels just the same as Roku and Apple TV. It was a similar type thing. I don't know if that implies necessarily a content partnership, but there were, I guess, channels or apps. I recall the big deal was there was when with the software version there was no Hulu integration. I don't know if that's a persistent problem still. This was a number of years ago.
So what about this? What about this one? Samsung now. Remember, I bet you the whole reason all of this happened and the reason we have five or six of these different set-top boxes is because of the content deal. Samsung now, being this juggernaut in the TV business, can maybe finally say, hey, we're going to leverage this into actual content deals and I don't know, integrate the software into their TV. This will be the Boxy box will be the Google TV for Samsung, and they may get the content providers. That's my crazy theory.
I don't think it's about the content providers. The software is far superior to anything that Samsung has. Samsung's a hardware provider. It's rivaling Apple with phones and other devices right now. I think this is a play at direct competition. I expect to see Samsung producing its own hardware, probably ditching the Belkin hardware and creating their own sort of Apple TV.
So Is there a chance here that Samsung will release, will re-release Boxy as Samsung connected hub TV smartness and let people use that on other hardware besides Samsung? I mean, do they have anything that does that now to kind of increase their halo effect to reach out to people that don't even know what Samsung hardware is? Or is this going to stay within Samsung hardware only? I guess I don't even know if they have a software division.
I would think it would stay within Samsung hardware only. Again, I think they'll probably not limit it to their smart TVs, but probably release a lower cost standalone device that's compatible with most TVs.
I see. Do you think Samsung's ever going to have a software division? Do you think that's like Safari is released on Windows, that there's going to be some Samsung app that makes its way onto Android or iOS so that you can watch Hulu more cheaply or something through it?
I see, here's the thing. I don't know where they're going with it. My first initial feeling was of, please don't touch it. Let it just work on it. Make it great. Then they killed off the DVR service, which I figured they would do immediately. And then I'm thinking, oh, maybe they're going to make it a software. It's going to be a feature in their smart TVs. And then it came full circle and say, you know what? Maybe they just shouldn't touch it and just put Samsung on the front of it instead of Boxy and say, this is our connected TV set-top box thing.
How much was Boxy worth? How much did Samsung pay for them, rather?
They paid $30
million.
$30 million. So what? If you said that Belkin made a Boxy box, is this kind of like there were reference designs that Belkin chose to make one, kind of like Logitech did with Google TV, or what? What?
Basically, Boxy went to the hardware manufacturers and said, "Who's going to make us this design?" And Belkin stepped up and made it, and it was released at CES. Well, this was the other problem. It was released at CES 2 years ago, but didn't ship till like November of that year. So it took a long time to the point that people forgot about it.
Okay. How about this? If I don't know Roku's interface, I don't know Boxy's interface, there is something called Wii Media Center, I think. That's pretty good on the Wii that I think is along the same lines as Boxy. But anyway, to me, Boxy and Roku blend together the way kind of, I don't know, like Mountain Dew and Sprite do. I don't even understand the meaningful difference between them at kind of a conceptual level, and certainly not at a branding level. Why Boxy and not Roku? It seems like Roku would be the one to choose.
It's possible that it was just too much of a money type of play to do, that they were able to acquiring Boxy, which I do believe was floundering, whereas Roku's, I do believe, is thriving. Am I wrong?
Well, so I purchased a Roku box after much argument with my wife, because she said, what do you need? You have a TiVo box, you have this. And I go, well, we don't get the Amazon stuff. She goes, yeah, but I can turn on the DVD player and get it. And I said, look, I'll pay for it. I paid for it. It sits behind the TV. It uses an RF remote, so anywhere you are, it has a directional pad and a select button. And she now watches that almost now exclusively with the TV. So it's 50% actual live TV and 50% Amazon Prime videos. So it clearly was simple enough for her to use. And that was the goal with leaning backwards on a couch, the ease of use, and it just seemed to work. Now, why didn't the Boxy box succeed? Maybe because people thought of it as an old hardware type device, and why pay for a box when you can put it on your old Xbox? And I think that's that and the timing. But we have less than a minute left.
Okay. All right. Well, then if I had to choose a media player, I want the next Apple TV that comes out. I want to be airplaying things to TVs. That's what I'm getting as my media player.
Not Android beaming?
No. No. Apple TV, please.
Or S-Beam? AirPlay. How about S-Beam?
No S-Beam? I'll never know someone else that has a Galaxy phone, even if I had one, so I could use that. Paul, what's your media player of choice?
If I had a new one, I'd probably go with an Apple TV, just because I have an iPad, I have an iPhone, and I have a MacBook Pro. AirPlay.
There you go. And Haim?
I like my Roku box.
All right, always being the odd man out there. All right, this has been episode 101 of In 32.0. I won't say that after this episode. This is just going to be In 30. Thanks very much for listening. Paul, thanks for coming on, and we will see you next week.
Goodbye.